Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ron, do you think Mike Tomlin gets an extension this offseason? It would be about, look behind you, that weather, Ron. How about that?
Is there anything more gloomy than that?
I'm enlivened by it. It's snow. It's beautiful. It's winter. It's what it's meant to be.
Looks more like just freezing slush to me. I don't know. It just looks so depressing. The trees, there are no leaves in it. The grass is brown. Give me sunshine.
I'm depressed either way.
I hear you. Do I think he'll get an extension? Maybe. If he gets it, it'll probably be right around training camp. That's usually the time they do it. Might give him a year, I would think. They believe in that consistency. Won't surprise me either way. If they don't, because he still has a couple years left. Won't surprise me if they don't. But I would probably bet yes, 1 year.
He's got 2 years left, correct?
I believe that's what it is.
If they do, it's again underscoring that I don't think Art thinks there's been one season that he was very disappointed with.
And I think the way this one finished probably encouraged him.
Probably.
Probably encouraged him.
Okay, let's go to Jerry's chat. Zach Barnhart, any chance the Steelers will give Mike Tomlin an ultimatum like Chuck Knoll got if the offense is bad again this year? Jerry, there won't be any ultimatums, just orders. And I read that as Art would step in and say, get Canada out of here, please.
That's how I would read that, too. And that's what Dan did with Chuck. I mean, he made Chuck make changes, including, you know, demoting Tony Dungy, who took it personally and left.
Well, that's what Art did with Mike, with Arians.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. The question is, should that have happened this offseason?
Could have happened at the break.
I tend to think yes, but man, that 7-2 stretch, for whatever it was worth. That's why Matt Canada's still here, because they improved.
They figured out the running game a little bit, which Art has been clamoring for, and Pickett got a little better.
Okay. Patrick is up next, Ron, in Jerry's chat, and doesn't offer a hello, Jerry, which I was offended by.
Yeah, I like the hello, Jerry.
Patrick, I understand Tomlin's not won a playoff game, let alone a Super Bowl in many years, but I don't understand the vitriol some fans have toward him. If he was fired by the Steelers, he'd have offers before he cleaned out his office.
As we pointed out, there's a lot of guys in the league that would apply to, right, Joe?
Yeah, including these final four coaches.
Absolutely.
The Steelers are a great organization, Patrick adds, and the teams are always competitive. Imagine being a fan of the Texans or Jets. I think some fans are spoiled and feel entitled, and they should appreciate what we have. Am I missing something?
Jerry.
What do you think Jerry would answer this with?
I would probably think he'd say something, and I haven't read it, you know, that you certainly should have high standards, and if this hasn't been good enough for you, it's fair to expect more.
I would have thought he would have said, you're nuts. You should...
That's basically what I was trying to say without
saying
you're nuts.
I guess. So this guy is basically saying fans shouldn't be mad at Tomlin.
You're spoiled.
Imagine being the Texans or Jets.
Right.
I thought Jerry might agree with him and say something like, pay the man.
Yeah.
That's what but he doesn't. The guy says, am I missing something? Dulac says, no, you're not. In other words, you're not missing anything.
Tired of your opinion.
But their past three embarrassing performances in the postseason, allowing an average of 45 points, double exclamation point, and not winning a postseason game in 6 years should merit some amount of grumbling for a franchise who, I'll say it again, has an annual stated goal of the Super Bowl, not the postseason, the Super Bowl. What does that mean, Ron? I think Jerry is defending and justifying the grumbling, maybe not the vitriol, certainly, but the grumbling within the fan base. I think people are entitled to grumble myself.
And that's I agree with them. They are entitled to grumble. Again, the other side of that is they keep your interest till the very end and could have made the playoffs this year. But I think you're absolutely right when you think he's saying that, you're saying that, and I want to chime in. Everybody is entitled to grumble. It hasn't been good enough around here for quite a while. I'm not willing to make a change just yet at the head coaching position, but I certainly would have been at the offensive coordinator position.
Me too. Mark weighs in.
Hello, Jerry?
No.
Ah.
People seem to be upset this week, Ron. Do you have any feeling for what traits, tendencies, experiences, etc. Omar Khan may have that sets him apart from Colbert? I think that's an interesting question, Ron.
It is an interesting question. We don't know. We haven't seen him at work enough to know that answer.
What might we see different this offseason, Mark adds. Jerry says we shall see, but I think you might have already seen a difference or change in approach when they made an in-season trade of a starter, Chase Claypool, for a high draft choice.
You know what I was told, and I can't remember who told me, but I remembered at the time thinking this person should know that Kevin Colbert was very much against that trade.
Was he?
That wouldn't have made it himself. Now, I don't think any of us knew how it was going to quite turn out at that
right.
point. It's turned out to be tremendous. I don't know if Kevin has changed his opinion on that, but that's what I was told, that he was not in favor of that deal. No, he didn't have the final say like he used to.
Is he still working as a consultant for
know.
Omar?
I don't know. See, Joe, we're never over there because we're doing the show. I don't know if he's around. I don't know if people saw him at practice. I don't think he's around too much. That's my understanding.
Listen, when the topic was first broached, and it was broached in the preseason, Claypool, I was mostly against it unless it involved Roquan Smith. Then I was for it and wanted that exact deal to be done. But I didn't know that they were going to wind up with basically a first-round pick.
Number 30. And plus, Claypool did absolutely nothing in Chicago.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, nobody
which makes
did,
it
but
even
yeah.
Look, yeah, but I mean, he did literally nothing, which makes it look even better.
So far, yeah, for
he
him.
He may be a star next year. I don't know.
Well, he may be good. I mean, he left here having won them a game against Tampa. I thought he was a really good player. Nobody thrived in this offense.
Right.
That's just a fact. Nobody.
Right.
At the beginning of the year and for really large portions of last year.
Now, you were in favor of trading Claypool.
For Roquan Smith.
Okay, are you in favor of trading Deontay now?
Yes. But hold on a second. I just wanted to praise Omar for the choice he made, because the Packers were off to a horrific start, and the Bears had Justin Fields, who seemed to be coming on, and they basically, from everything you read and heard, had a coin flip. The Packers would have done that deal too. So who's going to be the worst team down the stretch? And man, did he make a great decision.
Absolutely.
Now, as far as Deontay goes, I have very strong feelings that I was thinking about on the way in here. Forget the touchdowns. I don't care about the touchdowns, really. Sometimes that's a matter of luck. This is more about paying a guy all this money who's a singles hitter, whose average yards per catch is hideous, and who got targeted. What did he get targeted? 170 times or something, Ron?
How many drops?
And nothing happened. Right. He's a singles hitter. That's what he is. So I'd rather get him out of here and get some fresh blood in here, whether that's Jordan Addison or somebody else. Get a draft pick, whatever, for Deontay. Spend less money, although they've kind of already spent the money on him. His cap hits aren't that big from here on out, which makes him more tradable, I might add. And get somebody else in here. I don't think he's that good.
What do you think you could get for him?
Second or third, maybe? Yeah. Some people may have a higher opinion. They might be right, too. They might look at his numbers and say, in this offense, this guy will catch 100 balls again, 110 balls again. But this dude...
The Matt Canada specter hangs over everything.
Yeah, it does.
It really does.
There's no doubt about that. But my problem is he's a singles hitter, Ron. That's what he is. He's a singles hitter. 10 yards a catch. That's where he is pretty much his whole career. It's not just with Canada. You know, he's very good getting open off the line. I won't deny that. He obviously has some good qualities.
Gets into his routes really quickly.
But in the end, isn't he just another guy that they paid $18 million for?
Certainly was this year, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, 147 targets, 86 catches. Now, that could be a lot of issues, but I don't know. He's just another guy, Ron. He's another decent to good receiver. They literally do grow on trees. You can find him anywhere, right?
The Steelers have been pretty successful at it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can find somebody else who can replicate that, I think, and maybe save a little money and maybe even bring in Jordan Addison. Now, Jerry Dulac in his chat absolutely hates that idea. I forget the phrase he used, but he is not a fan of drafting Jordan Addison.
I don't think he believes in a number one pick, like the 17th pick to be used on a wide receiver. And I don't know that anybody thinks Addison may last a number 32.
Well, what do you believe?
I don't want a wide receiver 17. I'd much rather have an inside linebacker, a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman. If I can't get Addison at 32, I'm sure I can find a wide receiver. And if they don't trade Deontay, you don't really need a wide receiver.
What makes him different is his relationship with Pickett.
Right.
And you had everybody in the world, and I think Ja'Marr Chase is better than Jordan Addison and always will be.
Pickett, too.
Why are they taking a receiver? You can get a receiver anywhere. Well, you can't get a receiver that your quarterback knows like that. And in Chase's case, you can't get a receiver
that good
in a lot of cases.
Right.
I think Addison's going to be really good. My quarterback loves him. What better than to give my franchise guy his guy? But only if I can recoup a pick for Johnson. They have so many picks, Ron. And that, again, is the problem with not being in the top 5, 6, 7 picks. You're not going to get that guy on the offensive line or the defensive line. They're gone. So as far as I'm concerned, you can get one anywhere. I know you can get a receiver anywhere, too. But it's not like you're sacrificing, I don't think, some great player, some guaranteed stud to take Addison, and you're coming back around 15 picks later anyway. Right?
Yep, you are.
Jolie, feelings on the matter?
I'd be welcoming with Jordan Addison, but I think you can land a day two wide receiver probably like they have in the past.
Can't you land a day two lineman too? Like Creed Humphrey or somebody like that? I mean, once you pass the first 5, 6, 7, then you don't have that guy. You're just picking from offensive line, for example. Jonathan Ogden is gone. The rest of the guys are big and athletic, and if you can fit them into your system and develop them, they're largely the same to me between the end of the first round and the end of the third round. They're just a bunch of big guys,
Ron. I don't know, Joe. I still think you can get a really good one at 17, and they have
better than one you can get at 31 or 32.
I
don't know,
but they haven't drafted a lineman in the first round since DeCastro, right? 2012.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
So take one at 32. That's the first round.
Yeah, that's a long time. So what would you use it then, on an inside linebacker, a defensive lineman, or would you take the wide
best
receiver?
Player on my board?
Okay, I can live with that because they have a lot of needs at a lot of different places.
Best player on my board, but if I got a pick for Deontay, then I might put extra emphasis on Addison. It's a passing league. You see this all around. People want to devalue wide receivers. I agree, you can find them in lots of places, but it sure seems to me like all the criticism levied at the Dolphins and Eagles and other teams who sacrificed massive resources to bring in a receiver, their quarterbacks benefited immeasurably from that. A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's a premium position, Ron. Ja'Marr Chase, the drafting of him, controversially, right? I think it's a huge position to have.
It is, but you only can use those top couple picks on two positions. And as the question is wide receiver more important than inside linebacker or defensive line or offensive line?
It's right up there.
A cornerback, for that matter.
Yeah, it's right up there for me.
What's going to happen with Cam Sutton? We don't know. Are they going to sign him? If they don't sign him, they're going to have to find a cornerback pretty high, I would
Pretty
think.
High, yeah.
And they haven't had a history of doing that well, have they?
Maybe they stand pat on the offensive line. How about that?
Maybe. Is that going to be good enough?
Yeah, they have some money to spend, too.
See, and but they also, yeah, oh no, there's no doubt. We're all talking about the draft. They do have some free agents that they could go after. You know, one thing that just strikes me amazing is none of those guys got hurt on the offensive line.
I know.
They played every
amazing.
Game. Is that going to happen next year? Now, maybe one or two of them get hurt, and then you have the you have to go down to your depth. Is that going to be good enough?
If they bring back Joe Haig, it will be run.
The General Joe Haig.
Is General still playing? Where is he right
know.
Now?
I don't know.
I think he's in these playoffs still. Let me see now.
Is he?
Joe Haig. No, I got Joe Haig, a baseball player. Did you know there was a Joe Haig baseball player?
They call him the General?
From Huntington, West Virginia. Born in 1944, Ron, right about the time Johnny Dickshot was starring for the Pirates, right?
Johnny Dickshot.
We finally found out why Trdinich put out that tweet.
Oh, tell me.
It was Johnny Dickshot's birthday. Oh, and he's dead, so he wasn't celebrating. He would have been 113.
But that still doesn't explain. Who cares? Why, you know, when he said this, he said in his tweet, this is the 113th birthday
I know.
Of Johnny Dickshot. So I knew it was his birthday.
Right.
But why did he send it out?
I don't know. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, gave me the tweet yesterday. There was some celebratory reason. Maybe I can find it, Ron. I don't know. Have we sunk to this
We're
level?
Back to Johnny Dickshot?
Yeah, I guess we have sunk to this level, haven't we? Oh, I don't know. I don't know why he did that, Ron.
I still don't either.
You know what? That brings up a baseball topic, though. I never really talked to you because you were gone that week about McCutchen coming back. It's been made official.
Love to offer an opinion on that. And we also have a little tape from George Carlin explaining the difference between baseball and football. It's pretty good.
It's one of the all-time greats.
It's pretty good. We're going to let you hear that a little later.
Let's do that. Let's talk about McCutchen coming up next. What's a reasonable expectation? Do you think this was a move that can make people, I think it is, even if there were some sinister or ulterior motives, still like it and not care about that? Let's talk about that at 412-928-9370.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Ron, one of the big stories that broke while you were on vacation, and one of the stories that will continue to evolve here and probably be the focal point of Pirates spring training, which is right around the corner, is the return of Andrew McCutchen. What did you make of this? 1 year, $5 million. They haven't ruled out that he could be dealt. They haven't ruled out that it could be for more than that. But it seems to me, it sounds to me like a victory lap. Either way, he's here.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. To me, this is like throwing a bone to a really starving dog. I mean, Pirates fan base doesn't have much to get excited about hasn't for a long time. I'm generally not in favor of guys going home again. I think the tendency is to expect, you know, they're going to do what they did here the first time, and that obviously isn't going to happen. I think back to A.J. Burnett. Remember when they brought him back and he was good for a while, and then it just
he made
just,
the All-Star team.
He just ran out of gas after that. I see McCutchen did hit, you know, how many home runs just 2 years ago? 27. Had 80 RBIs with the Phillies in 21. Last year, the numbers dropped off. He's getting older. You know, I have no problem with it. I think fans will be excited. I can only imagine the ovation he'll get on opening day and when he comes up to bat for the first time. I just don't know how much he has left, Joe. And I'm counting on him, you know, soothing a little bit of wounds for the fan base, but I'm not really counting on him solving the problems of the team.
Yeah, I don't think I hope nobody's counting on that. Although he would have led the team in RBIs last year, he had 69 with Milwaukee and still has pop, 17 home runs. I don't see, A, what harm it's doing, and B, I think he means a lot to a lot of people.
I agree.
And I think that is a good thing. My wife texted me. I mentioned this whenever this story broke. In a text string with her niece and her husband, they're excited about it. My wife, of all people, texted, "I haven't been to a Pirate game since McCutchen left. I'll go now, and I don't even care if he does well." And I think there are many thousands of people who agree with that. And we heard from some of those people. We also heard from a lot of people who suspect the Pirates of ulterior motives here, of a smokescreen for getting rid of Reynolds. Like you said, throwing people a bone because, you know, look over here, we'll do something else or won't do something else over there. And I would never deprive somebody of their Pirate cynicism. It might even be true. But I think there are tons and tons of people who don't care about that. They are just glad to see one of the beloved figures of this in the 21st century in Pittsburgh sports. They're glad he's back. I don't know that he transforms attendance, but I think he sells out the opener, and I think some people will go.
A little bit of an impact.
Yeah.
And obviously, if the team wins in a little bit and he plays well, I have no problem with it either. I just wonder how much he has left, but I couldn't agree more with you. I think there are people out there because he's the link to, you know, the last time they were any good.
Yeah.
You know, back in 15. That was the last time, and that's a long time ago, and he was the link to that. And I think people kind of hang their hat on that saying, wow, you know, when we see him out there, it'll remind us of the good times instead of losing season after losing season.
And the way he carried himself.
Yeah, very professional. And that's another thing. I mean, I think he could be a positive in the clubhouse with with the younger guys.
Yeah.
You know, you hear him all the time saying, well, you know, watch him. He's a true professional.
Yeah.
How he goes about his business. And I think that could be the case with McCutchen.
Yeah, I feel like in that sport, leadership is more important than any other because you're with these people
every day,
all day long. And I think this team's been crying out for a leader like this. So I like it for many, many different levels. I'm not expecting much. I'm expecting a little pop in the bat, some DH work, and the presence of Andrew McCutchen. And I can't see how that's not a positive for all the young guys that they're going to have coming up here. And we're on the precipice now of more and more and more. The tank job that they underwent here hasn't even really produced anything yet because the people that they drafted have been so low in the minors.
Well, that's a question I'm going to ask you. Is this the year we finally start to see some progress? Maybe not a 100 loss season this year. You know, maybe they'll lose 90, be it like a 10-game improvement, starting in the right direction. Is this the year for that?
Yeah, I thought in some ways last year was the year for that. And the development of O'Neill Cruz, I thought, was a very exciting thing and somebody who could be Pittsburgh's next great athlete. He could.
Next star.
We saw some glimpses of some young talent. But, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping for that more than wins or losses. I want to see more of these guys. I want to see some of these draft picks they've had. I want to see Henry Davis.
But when does it translate to wins and losses? Another maybe 2 years?
I don't know. We had John Heyman on. He said they could make life miserable for some people this year and be
legit next year.
At least, you know, kind of like football these days, Ron. It's pretty hard to be totally out of it. You have to be basically tanking. So I would say in 24 to be flirting with 500, which means flirting with a playoff spot. By definition in baseball, you're going to be at least somewhat close. That seems reasonable to me. But this, I want to see some of their first round picks. The draft 2 years ago, they brought in all kinds of talent, surprising people by getting some of the kid from Clemson that they got to play baseball instead.
Give up football, give up being quarterback at Clemson.
All of baseball was talking about the Pirates. But the thing about baseball is you don't see these kids for 2-3 years.
And then what, Henry Davis has had injuries too, right?
Yeah. And Nick Gonzalez, people wonder about him. It's time to start seeing some of these guys. Both of those guys this year would be the time to see those guys. And unfortunately for them, in the years where they had the number one overall pick, there was no Sidney Crosby of baseball available. There was no
Bryce Harper,
Strasburg, Garrett Cole. Yep. Seemingly none of those guys was available. So I'm curious to see some of these guys, though, Ron. I mean, come on. How many top 10 picks can you have? Gonzalez was 7th overall. Davis was 1st overall. Kid they took last year was a high pick, and now they have the first pick again?
Yes, they do. But it's got to start to translate one of these days.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have translated yet because the tank job was still going on last year and the guys were too young. So I would say this year, next year, yes, it better start translating. But it's not football, so it wasn't going to translate last year. They just got Henry Davis in 21 with the first overall pick. I would say it's about time for Gonzalez as the 7th pick in 20. We should start seeing guys like that. I'm curious to watch them. I can tell you that much. I'm very curious to see some of their rotational pieces from last year, how that turns out. I want to see Cruz in year 2. I want to see Key Brian Hayes start to hit a little bit.
Starting to hit with them pop.
Yeah. They're curious to me. Now McCutchen, I think, makes them more watchable for people.
I would agree with that.
So, who knows, Ron? They'll probably... Wait, are we getting Shelty tomorrow? Did somebody say that? Or next week?
I didn't say that.
That's what Folsey said. Hold on a second, Ron. Folsey texted me yesterday and was talking about Shelty coming on this week.
Is he on
because
with
somebody
us?
Contacted him.
Is he going to be on with us again this
Hold
year?
On a second. This is important, Ron.
Yeah.
Entertain the masses or ask Jolie a question. I'll be right back. This
Jolie,
is very important.
Do you have the George Carlin stuff ready? Okay, we'll call for that when maybe the next segment, but... Joe, what is he looking for? Or is he just headed to the men's room? Do you know? Can you tell? He might be headed to the men's room. You having an incident over there?
No, I told you. I was looking for Folsey's text, and here it is.
Why are you going into that room to look for the text? Couldn't you look on your phone now?
Because Jolie has a charger in that room, and that's where my phone was.
I see.
Folsey, even when he's not working, and he's on paternity leave, 10/25 Friday for Shelty Run.
That's
tomorrow.
Next Friday. Or tomorrow.
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yep. How about our little Folsey?
I'm curious. Is he going to be joining us on a regular basis this year?
I think it sounds like it, yeah. We'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah. It's just kind of like a spring training preview type
I think
thing.
So, yeah.
Be good to hear Shelty's voice.
Has Folsey been a mentor to you, Joel?
I'd say so. Absolutely.
In what ways do you find him inspirational?
He's always a really... hard worker, very dedicated to what he does, very nice man.
He's a true professional. He carries himself.
A very nice man as well, yeah.
He carries himself as a true professional.
I don't know that I've ever met.
Just like Andrew McCutchen.
Yes, good point. I don't know that I've ever met a nicer man than Folsey. Have you, Ron?
Jerry DiPaolo.
Although Folsey does come with some hot takes, doesn't he?
He does. He's not afraid to share them either.
There's some latent anger in there that I think manifests itself through sports takes.
I want to eager to hear how fatherhood has changed his life. He's now a girl daddy.
Yeah, Daddy Folsey. He's all grown up, Ron. Really proud of him, and he'll be back in Monday. So we have Shelty tomorrow. This George Carlin thing, is that what we're going to hear?
That's pretty good. It's worth it.
Next, can we hear that?
Yeah, when we come back, a little tease.
Yeah, it's one of the all-time greats. Top of the hour, Penguins, Capitals. Is it what it used to be? Is it still great? What do we think of Ovechkin and Crosby again tonight? Feels like a pretty big game. Ron, what had you thinking of this George Carlin piece today? One of the all-time classics.
because I happened to see it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I follow Super 70 Sports, which I think is one of the best sites out there. The guy makes me laugh. I wrote a column about him a couple years ago. Makes me laugh every time he sends something out, and I happened to see it. George Carlin explaining the difference between football and baseball. I listened to it to make sure the language would be appropriate for the air.
Well, let's hope Jolie cleaned that up if it wasn't.
No, it was. I think it's clean. And,
it's one of the greatest rants, I guess you could call it, ever.
It's like a two-minute thing. Let's let people hear it. Hit it, Jolie.
There are things about the words surrounding football and baseball which give it all away. Football is technological. Baseball is pastoral. Football is played in a stadium. Baseball is played in a park. In football, you wear a helmet. In baseball, you wear a cap. Football is played on an enclosed rectangular grid, and every one of them is the same size. Baseball is played on an ever-widening angle that reaches to infinity, and every park is different. Football is rigidly timed. Baseball has no time limit. We don't know when it's going to end. We might even have extra innings. In football, you get a penalty. In baseball, you make an error. Whoops. The object in football is to march downfield and penetrate enemy territory and get into the end zone. In baseball, the object is to go home. I'm going home. And in football, they have the clip, the hit, the block, the tackle, the blitz, the bomb, the offense, and the defense. In baseball, they have the sacrifice.
One of the all-time classics.
That's pretty good. I love that. Football's played in a stadium. Baseball's in a park.
Which sport is your favorite, Ron?
I've talked about this many times. Baseball has always been my favorite sport, but not in this town. This town has ruined it for me because it's been so bad for so long. But it's always my favorite sport. If I could only see one great game, it would be a great baseball game, a great playoff game where every pitch means everything. But I mean, obviously football now and hockey for me both become much more enjoyable than baseball, but that's in this town.
Although it is worth noting that the Pirates have won as many playoff games as the Steelers in the last decade.
I guess that is true.
3-3, Ron.
3-3.
Who do you think will win the next one?
Next playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
Penguins.
Yeah. They'll win a game.
I mean, as long as they make it.
Who will win the next championship?
Now this is,
that's a common question around here.
This is always a common question, and I don't like any of the team's chances at any point in the near future. Probably during my career, I don't know that I'm going to see another championship. I've been blessed to see so many Super Bowls and Cups, and I'm old enough to remember, you know, I covered the 79 Pirates. I remember watching the 71 Pirates. I don't know that I'm going to see another title while I'm around.
If you had to bet on one, who's going to win the next one?
I'd probably. Oh my goodness, that's a hard one. I just can't. I know you predicted 27 for the Pirates, and I know you were serious about that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. I just can't. I'd probably say the Penguins, I guess. And I'm not. And believe me, I have no faith in that happening.
I'm going to stick to the Pirates in 27. I think the Steelers, though, just the nature of the NFL, I think that you can rebound quickly. They have a big draft coming up for them, and they might have a really good quarterback.
Right.
And if that's the case, then they're going to have some kicks at the can, as they say, Ron.
But it's just so hard to get there and to win it. I mean, I always like, look at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, in every sport,
2010 against the Steelers and has never been to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In 12 years. It's just so difficult to win. I don't have a good feel for any of our teams doing it anytime soon. But football, you know, you make a couple good picks. As you said, we saw the Bengals. You know, look at Jacksonville. I mean, what Trevor Lawrence and a few other guys have meant to them with a good coach. They're a team on the rise.
And then you get a magical year where everybody stays healthy.
Right.
Let's say next year Watt stays healthy and has an all-pro season. That, to me, that changes things. Minka stays healthy. Cam has another good year. You draft somebody. Pickett develops. He may have a star in Pickens.
They figured out the running game with Najee.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? In that league, you get Brock Purdy in a championship game, right?
Yes, you do.
One step away from the Super Bowl, Mr. Irrelevant.
You have to have people around him, and a system and a coach and an offensive game plan.
I heard them on the PM side yesterday talking about Pickett and Purdy and NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year and whether Purdy should even be considered for that given the number of games he played. Do you agree with that? Should he be,
He played 5 regular season games.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. I'd give it to the Walker kid from Seattle. I thought he had a really outstanding year. 5 games is not enough for me to win one of those major awards. Now, if you include the postseason, but you don't include the postseason.
No. So you had Purdy, you had Garrett Wilson, and Kenneth Walker. So Purdy is a finalist, Ron, which is very interesting. He only played in 5 games, is that right?
I believe he's played in 7, counting the playoff games.
Right, but for purposes of rookie of the year, just 5.
Right.
That's it.
That's my understanding.
I'm all right with it in a given year. If you do more in 5, especially at that position, I think that you should be considered.
Oh, I'm not totally against it. I don't think it's enough for me.
Would you have a cutoff like they do in hockey where you can't win rookie of the year unless you play half the games?
Yeah, I could see something like that. But I get you. You know, quarterback has such a heavy weight to it. Pickett played in more, but, you know, he missed didn't start the first 4 and then he missed 1 more. Yeah, I guess he did play in 12.
Well, what am I missing from Purdy here? Because I have him playing in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games.
Maybe one of them wasn't a start.
Right.
I thought it was 5 regular season and 2 postseason, but maybe he did get into a 6th one.
You're right. You're right about that. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He got into 6 games. Actually,
I think he started 5 of them.
Started 5 and played significantly in 6.
And then obviously in the postseason.
For me, it's enough. For me, it's enough at that position and what he actually did. I'm trying to think of some examples from other sports from history where guys have come in late to a season and had an amazing run and either won Rookie of the Year or been up for it.
Didn't Tim Wakefield join the Pirates?
Might have been him, yeah.
And really just basically carried the team, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a couple of games, obviously not, but 5 or 6 games, a third of the season. If somebody else had some ridiculously great rookie year, I probably wouldn't consider it, but I don't see that as having happened this year.
I thought Walker was pretty good for a playoff team.
Yeah, he was pretty good. What'd he get, 1,000 yards?
I believe so. I'd have to double check it.
Which year, you know, 1,000 yards anymore.
And 17 is not what it used to be, not like when they did it in 14.
Not even close, really. So I think I would actually vote for Purdy. Based on the impact that he made in a very short period of time. Definitely over Pickett. They were arguing about that yesterday, too. Pony taking the side of Pickett and Mulsey taking the side of Purdy. Purdy was better in a shorter amount of time than Pickett was in a longer amount, right?
Yes. That is fair.
His stats were way better.
But again, you know, if you put Pickett in the San Francisco system and Purdy with Matt Canada, who would have been better?
Good question, but it's not pertinent for Rookie of the Year voting for me. That's a different question. Who's the better player and who's going to be the better player?
Right.
What actually happened on the field this year, I could not vote for Pickett over Purdy. I don't think Pickett should have been the finalist. Do you?
No, I had no problem with that.
Top of the hour. Let's talk a little hockey.
Big game tonight. Fun game tonight.
Penguins, Capitals, is it what it used to be? Is it still appointment viewing, something you're very excited to see? We'll talk about that coming up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.